Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
5:08 on this Thursday. Good news for the University of Minnesota as the Big Ten signed a massive, massive broadcast deal today. 7-year media rights agreement with Fox, CBS, and NBC. It'll bring in more than $7 billion. This is an NFL-style deal, and you know who the head of the Big Ten is. It's Kevin Warren, who, of course, lived here in the Twin Cities for a long time, was a big-time executive with the Minnesota Vikings. And this is good news for the U of M. They will have more money to help kind of have stability in the football program and in the athletic department in general.
And people were worried about what was going to happen to the Big Ten if they didn't have ESPN support. Well, there's your answer.
Yeah, I mean, the way it's going to work is Fox will have the first game on a Saturday. So there will be some noon games. Noon Eastern, so 11 our time.
11 a.m. kickoff. Oh, yes. That's how you start your college football Saturday.
Yes. So you start on Fox. And then CBS gets the afternoon games, like 2:30 kickoff. And then NBC gets prime time games. They're calling it Big Ten Saturday night. Oh, yeah. Hey, this is great for two reasons. One, it sends more money to the U. Two, it gives athletes interested in choosing a college. If you pick a Big Ten school, your games are going to be on big-time network television from morning till night.
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge recruiting tool. Absolutely huge. And, I mean, who can't wait to see that, you know, Rutgers-Indiana game on a Saturday night?
Oh, yeah.
In front of friend and family.
Do you think that will be the games that NBC gets
If they don't look to put Indiana and Rutgers in that prime spot, then they're missing out on a golden opportunity.
All right. Well,
but what's going to happen to Notre Dame? Because Notre Dame, I thought, had.
Notre Dame stays on NBC, and Notre Dame seems happy about this situation because it gives more, there's more real estate to promote the Big Ten, during the Big Ten broadcast, to promote the Notre Dame broadcast.
Notre Dame should just join the Big Ten like everybody else is.
Well, a lot of people wondered if they would, right? They're probably the last big prize out there. It's 5:10. Let's do the D-Rush Hour news headlines. And what to do about a public Minneapolis golf course that consistently floods, but has also played an important role in the racial integration of golf in Minnesota, Hiawatha. Boy, we've been talking about Hiawatha Golf Course for at least 5, 10, 15, forever. Susan Dew writing about it in the Star Tribune. Right now, Hiawatha is an 18-hole golf course. It's also always waterlogged. It's located 4 feet below the level of Lake Hiawatha in the Minnehaha Creek floodplain. So on average, the park board is pumping more than 420 million gallons of groundwater off of that course. DNR gave them a permit. This isn't what we like to see happening. If you have to pump that much water, it means that the water wants to naturally go somewhere else. And this is the dispute. A Star Tribune reporting that the board did, in fact, last night vote to move the master plan onto the full board in 2 weeks. The master plan takes that 18-hole golf course and makes it a 9-holer, and then would also create a stormwater channel to kind of get that water to flow through the course more naturally. We'll see. This has come up before the park board many, many times, and it's never had enough votes from the board to pass. More development news in Arden Hills. And would you have the courage to do this if you got fed up with your local government? Soraya Keyser reporting in the Pioneer Press on how four Arden Hills residents have decided they're going to run for city council and for mayor because they're sick and tired of nothing happening with the former Twin Cities Army ammunition plant. You've probably driven by this before. It's the largest area, largest plot of land available for development inside the Metro Twin Cities, 427 acres. But the city and Ramsey County keep arguing about this. Ramsey County spent $100 million to do an environmental cleanup. You can imagine it was an ammo plant. It's pretty nasty. Ramsey County wants to make their money back, so they want 1,700 housing units on the land. So they make money back through property tax. The city would prefer 1,460. And these candidates, these people who live in Arden Hills, are like, enough? Can't we meet in the middle and let's go? So they're all running for office. We'll see how that goes. Election is November 8th. Are we ready for all these edibles? Lots of companies. Chris says, yes.
Let's go.
Lots of companies.
I'm planning vacation around the edible release.
So many companies diving into new products, as the Minneapolis St. Paul Business Journal reports. Balanced Naturals, B-L-N-C-D. Because if you're cool, you do not need vowels. Vowels are for squares. Balanced Blinst Naturals. They actually have a really cool design. They make CBD products. They make these kind of sparkling waters with CBD. They launched a tropical-flavored Delta-9 THC gummy in mid-July. So they launched that just a couple weeks after the new edibles law went into effect. They're going to release a THC sparkling water in October. The co-founder, Allison Valencourt, says they've been researching and developing this stuff for a while. So that CBD sparkling water that's already out is at Lunds and Byerly's and 500 other spots. The THC water will be strawberry basil, yuzu ginger. They're also considering that'll have 5 milligrams. They're considering a 3 milligram, kind of a low dose. I don't know. This stuff.
Now give me a bunch of 5 milligrams and call it good.
Well, what happened to Coors Light and a nap on the backyard? My gosh.
That's what happens when you have too many Coors Lights.
Indeed Brewing just launched a non-alcoholic THC. One of the weird things that I'm looking into is I was told the other day that the law doesn't allow these THC products to be sold at liquor stores, which is kind of weird because people seem to have the most expertise and kind of age check and that sort of thing. So
these are going to be more of a retail.
But they'll be
solution.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
We'll see. Cities are trying to figure it out, too. The Monte Teo story. Remember Monte Teo? This is going back to 2012. Well, there's a new Netflix documentary, Untold, The Girlfriend Who Didn't Exist. His story was incredible in 2012, a Notre Dame star linebacker with a very inspirational story of a girlfriend who had just died of leukemia.
His grandmother and girlfriend, Lene Kakua, had died the same night. He dedicated his season to them. It was an amazing story.
I mean, they were with me, you know. I miss them.
One problem, his girlfriend did not exist.
I don't think anyone can appreciate how big a story it became. This was a very sophisticated hoax, perpetrated for reasons we can't understand.
And the documentary tries to get into that. Washington Post reporting on it today. The girlfriend, Lanai Kakua, was social media fiction, just totally made up. And Netflix, for this, or the producer, whoever made this documentary, interviews Monte Teo and the catfisher, Renaya Tuaya Sopo, who has since come out as a trans woman and goes by the name Naya.
I created this fictional character, Lene. I totally felt fear. I didn't have courage to just be like, this is who I am.
It became evident that we had a major story.
I was afraid this was going to affect my NFL future.
Yeah, Monte Teo had about a 10-year career in the NFL. Pretty decent career in the NFL, but always connected to this story he shared, which he believed to be true, that was a total fiction. Maybe catfishing wasn't quite as known in 2012 as it is 10 years later. It's a fascinating, heartbreaking story, that documentary, available now on Netflix. Can't wait to see it. Very, very strange. That's the D-Rush Hour News headlines. every day at about 5:10 here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Coming up, the CDC came out and said they did kind of a mediocre job when it came to COVID. They're reorganizing, they're changing things. But what does that mean? How do they need to change? How can we be better prepared to digest all of this information in a rapidly changing information society that we're in? We're going to talk with an expert in public health from the University of Minnesota. That's straight ahead on Drive Time with DeRussia.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Big changes coming to the way the government tries to keep us healthy and safe in the middle of a public health crisis. The director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the federal agency led that was tasked with leading the response and giving state and local government advice, was under massive criticism during the response to COVID for being too political, being too wonky, too academic, too slow. And now, new marching orders, as the CDC says they are going to change it. The quote, "Our performance did not reliably meet expectations." We wanted to know what we learned from how the CDC didn't meet expectations and kind of what, as, you know, consumers of this information, what we can do going forward to maybe be better at trying to digest all the information that's out there. Dr. Rebecca Wirtz joins us. She is an associate professor at the School of Public Health at University of Minnesota, and Dr. Wirtz has done research about social media during COVID-19 and its impacts on social connections and social distancing compliance. Rebecca, so good to have you with us here on CCO.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Is it a good thing that the CDC came out and said that they knew that they didn't do a great job?
Well, yes, finally some accountability, right? Let me start, though, by saying that I haven't read the official review. I've just read what Dr. Walensky's been saying in the media. So
we don't know exactly, and the review hasn't fully been released to go down all of the things that they said they did wrong. But there are a lot of things that you probably were watching as a public health expert and saying, like, oh, no.
That's a good way to put it. I mean, I think the COVID bus, you know, kind of swerved from one side of the highway to the other. And throwing the CDC under that bus isn't, you won't stop the bus from swerving, but a lot needs to be fixed at the CDC. So, yeah, exactly that. I watched it swerve, and it was scary.
What's difficult for me to kind of make sense of during all of this is that it didn't take long. It took a couple months, and then people lined up on whatever political side they're on. And to some people, the CDC was always, you know, they were never cautious enough. And to other people, they were way too onerous. Is there a way that a public health agency can actually communicate reliably and get people across the political spectrums to be on board?
Well, I think, you know, as most of us recognize, that's one of the first places they fell down, right? The communications. They have to be much better at communicating clearly, communicating the science, but communicating it in a way that makes sense. I'm an infectious disease doctor, and I would read their latest policies, and I couldn't understand them. I had to read them over and over to try and make sense. Yeah. So I think just to start with communicating clearly,
I was trying to make
so much of a difference.
I was trying to make sense of it to put it on the news, and you'd look and think, like, I don't know. Some of this stuff.
My friends would ask me what to do, and I would say, I don't know. Let me go back and read it again.
Yeah. We're talking with Rebecca Wirtz, who is a public health researcher and expert and instructor at the University of Minnesota. The communication is part of it, but, you know, this is tough stuff, right? Researching in real time a pandemic. It goes beyond communication, getting the research and getting the best, latest information. That seemed to be another area they were falling down in.
Well, you know, I think Dr. Walensky has emphasized after she's read the report three things. I think she said testing, data, and communication. So you and I have talked about communications, but absolutely the data needs to be there. You said they're doing this in real time, and the CDC never really did it in real time. Mm. They were days, weeks, sometimes even months behind where things were happening. And there really has to be a rebuilding of the information infrastructure that supports the decision making at the CDC. And that's, I think, one of the fundamental structural changes that needs to happen.
So many Americans think that the CDC was overly influenced by politics and politicians. I'm curious what your thoughts are on that as you watch this go down.
Well, it was clearly influenced by politics. The CDC can't be completely insulated from politics. It's called public health, public for a reason. Yeah. It is a national, federal agency. The director is appointed by the president. It gets its budget from Congress. It has to be know where it stands in relation to politics and to power, but that doesn't mean that it has to be influenced adversely by, you know, a political system run amok. So, I mean, I think that would be another, you know, specific change perhaps would be to have the CDC director appointed on a 6-year basis, say, rather than a 4-year basis, so that they're somewhat insulated from the presidential aspects of it.
We're talking with Rebecca Wirtz from the University of Minnesota School of Public Health as the CDC announces that it's going to sort of reorchestrate. It's a pretty big agency. There are a lot of people who work there. 12,000 or so people.
A reorganization.
Yeah. But part of what happens, look, I mean, if you go on social media right now, everyone out there is an expert in COVID.
Right.
Not long ago, you know, the CDC had a couple of people who were experts, but that's part of what a public health agency does, right? Is you have to research and be ready for whatever the next thing that might pop would be.
Yeah, research would be ready, but ready, you know, to move quickly. That's one of the, again, a major structural problem at the CDC. It acts like an academic institution instead of a response or crisis management institution. And so, you know, when you say there needs to be an organization, reorganization, yeah, but it's going to need to be more than just changing the org chart, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're built to do slow studies and long research, that's not taking the data in from states or counties or whatever. I mean, I was struck by the fact that some of this data was really being aggregated by colleges that were getting information from, you know, local and state public health agencies instead of this coming from the CDC.
Faster and better and more effectively, yes.
Yeah.
You know, the whole information data infrastructure needs to be rebuilt. We rely on, you know, literally paper reports, fax reports being hand entered into databases at state, local and state levels and then fed up to the CDC. And the whole infrastructure from local to federal needs to be rebuilt. That's not just a CDC problem.
Can they rebuild trust?
Well, and then ultimately that's the important thing, right? They're going to have to earn it. They're going to have to show that they can respond. And, you know, clearly they're not responding terribly effectively to monkeypox. They're going to have to make these cultural and structural changes. And then they're going to have to be ready for the next pandemic or the next health crisis and do a good job and earn that trust back.
Because there will be another public health crisis. There just will be.
Just because we've had a massive one over these last 3 years doesn't mean that the next massive one isn't around the corner, as scary as that sounds.
Yeah. Rebecca Wirtz, I appreciate the insight this afternoon from the University of Minnesota School of Public Health. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's 5:30 on Drive Time with DeRussia. We've got traffic and weather straight ahead on a rainy Thursday afternoon on CCO. Is this the song of the summer?
Is that o'clock? Yeah, it's thick 30.
Not with that kind of filthy mouth.
I'm still flirty.
Okay, Lizzo. Feels good. What do you think?
Well, she's one of us, so this is the song.
She is. She rose. She prepared for her rise to fame here. I would say she rose to fame. She wrote the songs that got her famous in Minneapolis. And now she lives in L.A., I believe. It is that time of year where we talk about the song of the summer. Chet Hartman and I started doing this 10 years ago. This is our 10th year of wow. having this conversation. And thank you. And the reason it came back is I correctly predicted that the song of the summer would be Call Me Maybe. 10 years
oh,
ago.
Oh, that was, I loved Carly Rae Jepsen.
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh, man.
And I, Adam Carter, Dan Cook, Chad, all poo-pooed me. They all thought I was crazy. They're like, no way. And I said, we will be playing this at wedding receptions for years to come. That is the metric as to whether or not a song is forever lasting or not. But come on.
Everybody knows it.
Hey,
I just met you.
Right? Come on.
This is crazy. Here's my number.
And she's turned out to be a great person, too, which makes it even more fun. So I'd love your guesses at 651-461-9226 or your calls, what you think should be the song of the summer. That was Lizzo. I want you to hear this song by Jack Harlow, another one of my candidates for Song of Summer 2022.
I've been a throw up the sex in a and I can put you in.
First Class, big hit song. But you can, I know for a lot of you, this is your first time hearing these songs.
I'm digging the Black Eyed Peas.
It's you're feeling that out.
I'm
you're
feeling
enjoying
it.
That.
Yeah, I feel like a DJ, like DJ Tubbsy.
It does sample Glamorous as mm-hmm. you hear in there from Fergie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's another option.
Okay, I like that.
651-461-9226. Feel free to weigh in. Should we do Lotto? How about Lotto?
You ready for some big energy?
I'm always this was one of the favorites from Chad's show. You can listen to the podcast where you can find anywhere you get podcasts. How about some Lotto?
Hey, Daddy, when you gonna stop playing? Bad chick, I could be a fantasy. I could tell you got big, big energy. It ain't too many of them that can handle me. But I might let you try it out the Hennessy.
It's pretty good, right?
Anything that's got my girl Mariah in it. Because yes. This is, I mean, Mariah yes. from 90. Oh, yeah, give me this.
Now, this is sort of an old song. It was released, I think, at this thing has hung around since the end of 2021. But it's just got a vibe, right?
It makes you feel good. It one of those that you can roll down the windows and you can blast it and you're feeling good.
All right, I like that. I like that song. Okay, I think this may be the winner. It might be too obvious. It might be too literal. Mm-hmm. You talked about rolling down the windows.
Yeah.
But Now, I don't recommend opening the sunroof today, but this song, Sunroof, I think this may be the winner. This may be the song of the summer. Let me know if you agree. Here we go. This is Pop Music 101. For CCO AM listeners, this song is called Sunroof.
Should have walked the ramp on that, Jason.
I totally messed that one up, didn't I? We could try it again. I could do a better job, I promise. I've been a music DJ before.
It's about a 10-second ramp.
All right, here we go. Go ahead. Hit it. 543 here on Drive Time with DeRusha. I know most of you have never heard any of these pop music songs? This is Pop Music 101. It's called Sunroof. I got my head out
the sunroof. Better? Was that better?
That's better. All right. That's better.
Hit the post.
That's good. Yeah. That's.
This is good, right?
I like it. It's catchy. It could be an earworm.
And you're like, it just. Now, the only thing this doesn't have is like absolute rage, like rager dancing vibes to it.
Yeah, but they're just kind of so chilling, and they're doing this kind of stuff.
I wish you could see this.
You know?
I wish you
see
could
what I'm
see
doing?
This. Oh, my gosh. That was beautiful.
That song makes you want to do that.
All right. It's called Sunroof. Very, very good. Good option.
Isn't that the official song of, like, the State Fair, didn't you say?
Well, I got a tip that might be the official song of the Channel 4 State Fair broadcast. They always pick a pop song that they use when they bump in, so... one more song that I like and is very popular on TikTok, from a guy with a name that you have to love, Young Gravy, because I love gravy and I think everyone loves Young Gravy. Can we hear a little bit of this song? What's your baby mama at the crib and blowing back out? Shorty Filipino and she call me Manny Pacquiao. Alley oop without the hoop, they call me Jerry Stackhouse. See, that's a nice reference.
Like that. Wake up bright and early to some brand new cream. Floss three times, baby, all so clean.
Gravy got cheese now, that's poutine. Gravy coming hot. A poutine reference, too. Come on. This is Young Gravy.
Young Gravy.
Betty Get Money is the name of that song.
I haven't heard Betty or Money, but I heard a lot about food.
There's a very good kind of catchy hook in this that comes in about a minute 30 into the song. Young Gravy.
Okay.
Now, why not? This guy's 26 years old. His real name is Matthew, but Young Gravy.
Yeah, if your name Matthew, you definitely want to go by Young Gravy. If my name was Matthew, I'd go by Young Gravy, too.
He was born, according to Wikipedia, he was born in Rochester, Minnesota.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Oh, man. So now I got to take. Okay. So Lizzo or Young Gravy? Oh, man.
Young Gravy is one of us?
Young Gravy.
He went to Mayo High School in Rochester. He got a degree in marketing from the University of Wisconsin, Madison. What?
Do we claim him even though he went to Madison?
Does he still live? Yes, if he's from Rochester. If Young Gravy is from Rochester, we got to get him on the show.
Okay.
He had to move, right? Like, Young Gravy can't still be here. Oh, my God.
No, I don't know.
This
is
news to me. This is very exciting.
Did you guys not know that when you were on Chad with her? Oh, so you're breaking news today.
No.
You got it before Chad did. Good for you.
The newspaper in Rochester wrote an article that basically expressed the exact same thing that I did. Wait, what? Rapper Young Gravy is from Rochester? Tell you what, Rochester is a much cooler city than any of us thought.
Man.
Who knew?
More than just the Mayo.
Who knew? All right, it's 5:47. We'll take a break here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Well, you're going to be shocked that the text response to Song of the Summer is a lot of confusion over what these songs are. Is this not the top four? Is there anything better than a beautifully mixed, sick pop music song just over the AM radio and the old Victrola? Isn't that? That's not what people want, Christoph?
No, it's not. Jason, I believe, as the kids would say, the times are changing.
Yeah.
Times are changing. I will say that there was something that was bugging me during that Young Gravy song, and I could not think of it. And there was like, oh, man, I really like this song, but I couldn't put my finger on it.
Okay.
I said, because it samples Rick Astley.
Right.
Never Gonna Give You Up.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know how when you hear something and you're like, it drives you nuts because you can't place it?
Right.
That was it.
So I heard a friend of mine, a source, texted in to tell me that Young Gravy sometimes makes appearances here in the Twin Cities.
Really?
And has been to Cowboy Jack's not long ago.
Okay.
And just... So there you go. So maybe we can get him on the show.
Maybe reach out to his people.
Yes, let's get Young Gravy on CCO Radio. This is not your grandpa's CCO.
I assume you're talking about your show that you'd want him on.
Yes.
Gravy in the afternoon.
Yes. Yes.
Can't have gravy in the morning. Got to have Young Gravy in the afternoon.
That's right. Okay. Drive time right before dinner, a nice serving of gravy, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I'd like to know how they come up with these names. I've always been curious. Like,
that's a great question.
How do you come up with like
your rapper name?
Yeah, with like your rapper name, your gimmick name.
There are rapper name generators, so you can go online and you fill out a form with like your favorite TV character. Mm-hmm. Your real life first name, your real life last name, the name of a criminal.
Like Big Pokey or?
Right,
like,
yeah. Okay. And then, you know, you just put that in and.
Is that what you're doing now?
Yeah. So for my rap name would be Captain Kirk Maurice Stina. That's what it says.
Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk. Maybe just that's it.
Yeah. I thought you said Cena. I'm like, I can't see you.
I don't think I can do that.
You couldn't do John Cena.
Lots of great stuff on the podcast today. Make sure you go check out our interview with Dan Gladden. He is being inducted into the Twins Hall of Fame. Plus, to Russia Eats. If you're looking for a burger, we name-checked a bunch of them with the founder of Twin Cities Burger Blog. And we're going to put a post on WCCORadio.com with Roger Thompson's favorite burgers. He's got a list of a top 50, so we'll put that whole thing online for you to check out. You can always find our podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, and the Odyssey app, which is a great way to subscribe and leave us a review, all that good stuff. We appreciate that. Minnesota's Drive Time News is coming up straight ahead. Twins are off tonight, back in action this weekend. Then it's Steve Thompson and Henry Lake right here on your home for the Twins. I'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Card D Sharks, too, at 4, so tune in for that. Have a great night, everyone.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.